Radio.
My name is Michael Papenkort. I'm German, as you might hear already. I'm in the mission since 1986, together with my wife Patricia. She is from Mexico. We have two children, and we are involved mostly now in giving courses as part of the St. Andrew School of Evangelization. Throughout the years, you can imagine, we have been involved in many different things and different activities, but this forms now our main mission. Looking at the Catechism in particular, on this occasion, what would one expect from this little series of four talks? What would we talk about? Well, one could think we talk about the outline of the Catechism. Well, the outline of the Catechism you have just when you open it, so no need to give it to you. One could talk about the content, explain the content of the Catechism. Well, too big for four little talks. So what would we do in these four little talks? I thought it might be helpful to just look at a very widespread fact about the Catechism. The fact that it is not read. The fact that it is just simply not looked at. Maybe we're looking at it when we have to prepare a talk. Maybe we look at it when we have to prepare a sermon. But are we looking at it on a regular basis? Well, if you are a bit like me, you don't really do it too much. The Catechism looks well on the shelf in the living room, but it sits there most of the time and we do not read it. So let us look at what might be a reason why we are not looking at the Catechism so much. I have found four titles for these four little talks. The one of this day will be called A Symphony. The next little talk will be about a door. The third one, it will be about a little young boy, and also a bit about an old man. And the last, the fourth one, it will be about Indiana Jones. I hope you still know who that is. So today, let us think about something that is called a symphony. Not so long ago, I think in 2010, the successors of the apostles, they gathered. That is called a synod of bishops. So they gathered and they were discussing, they were contemplating the Word of God. They came together, they worked a lot to bring together what is the Word of God for us today in the church. Then when they were done, Pope Benedict sat down and he took the minutes, I guess. And so he presented to us a summary of what they were talking. This summary is called Verbum Domini, as one of those documents of the church. In this Verbum Domini, there is a wonderful, pretty short explanation of what the Word of God is. If you want to look it up, which I really encourage you, it would be in Article 7 in this document, Verbum Domini. I quote here, they, the bishops, rightly referred to a symphony of the word, to a single word expressed in multiple ways, a polyphonic hymn. So Benedict writes here that when the bishops came together, the successors of the apostles, they described the Word of God as a symphony. Now a symphony, you know, is not a solo instrument. A symphony is an orchestra of a couple, actually a lot of different instruments playing together, producing all together one sound. This one sound, they say then, is God's self-communication. This one sound is the word of God in which God communicates himself. Now, the question then has to be, in this symphony, what are the different instruments and what are they playing? So the first instrument they list then is easy to be seen in the beginning of the Gospel of John. I quote this Verbum Domini, as the prologue of John clearly shows us, the Logos, the Word, refers in the first place to the eternal Word, the only begotten Son of the Father, before all ages and consubstantial with Him. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. We have heard this so many times, and it just bypasses us. But here, the successors of the apostles remind us that in the first place, the Word of God is a person. The Word of God is the Son of God. This for us is very difficult to take, because you see, the term Word for us is occupied. When we hear Word, we think of how many letters, which language, how big the print, how does it sound. The Word of God clearly says, and the bishops remind us, we need to step back a little from our understanding of Word when we talk about the Word of God. And we need to allow to come in that the Word of God is primarily a person, Jesus Christ himself, the first instrument playing in the symphony. But in the same way, they continue, St. John tells us, this Word, it became flesh. Hence, Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, truly the Word of God. And now he becomes consubstantial, same substance with us. He becomes one of us. So here the expression, the Word of God, then refers to the person of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the Father, made man. The Word of God is primarily a person. Now, these words are not very complicated to understand. Every single one of them we understand immediately. But this reality, we need to give it time and reflect it in front of God to allow him to build it into our heart. That we come to see that when we talk about the Word of God, we're not talking about so many pages with print on them, but we're talking about a living person. The Word of God, Jesus Christ himself. Now they continue. While the Christ event is at the heart of divine revelation, they write, we also need to realize that creation itself is an essential part of this symphony. Of the symphony of many voices in which the one Word is spoken. So they, of course, have also a Latin word for it. They call it the Liber Naturae, as the book of nature. The book of nature. See, the Creator, he expresses himself also in what he creates. In the beginning of the Gospel of John, we also read, when it talks about the Word, all things, and you can study the word all for years. By the end of it, you will find out it means exactly that. All. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. So all you see, even the things you do not see, they came into being through him. They came into being through this one living word, which is a person. And because everything you see, even the things you don't see, come from him, through him, he expresses himself also in what he creates. So we see a reflection, we see so much of himself expressed in creation. That's why then the fathers say that God also communicates his self in creation. And also creation, just by the way, is the place that he designed, the place that he made, so we could meet him. It's the place that he created for this rendezvous, for our meeting him. Then they continued to the next instrument playing this symphony. And they write, "We also profess our faith that God has spoken his word in salvation history." God speaks his word in salvation history. He has made his word heard by the power of his Spirit. God's word is thus spoken throughout the history of salvation. Most fully, of course, in the mystery of the incarnation and the death and the resurrection of the Son of God. Now, salvation history is not only what we read in Scripture, starting at creation and going to the apostles. Salvation history is still on. We are still living in salvation history. You are part of it. Salvation history is only finished when it comes to completion in Christ and this one huge, big event where he appears, to be seen by everyone. So salvation history is not only a recording like history books, but salvation history, the fathers say, as part of the Word of God, as a part of God communicating himself. So we also need to read salvation history. They continue on to another instrument. I read, "Then too the word of God is that word preached by the apostles." The word of God is that word preached by the apostles in obedience to the command of the risen Jesus. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation." The word of God is thus handed on in the church's living tradition. Now, note that Jesus is not telling the apostles, "Go and write." He tells them, "Go and preach." Now, the apostles then, they passed on the gift, the grace, and the office of teaching to their successors. You, of course, remember, and you have it heard so often, this last verses of the Gospel of Matthew. We call it the Great Commission. "Go therefore," Jesus tells his apostles, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. So for one, Jesus tells them to teach. And he tells them to teach to obey. Here he already gives them an authority. Many people can teach, many people can say many things. But the apostles are commissioned by Jesus not just to teach, but to teach to obey. And then he says his beautiful sentence, I am with you always to the end of the age. Why would Jesus say that? See, to the end of the age is a long perspective. And Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that the end of the age was far beyond the end of the generation of the apostles. So he tells them, I am with you. When he knew that the teaching would have to go beyond the generation of the apostles, this you in I am with you cannot just mean the apostles. Then this I am with you must include the successors of the apostles. That means that Jesus is with the teaching of all the successors of the apostles till the end of the age. Now Jesus, he does trust the apostles. He does trust the successors. But he is also with them and he takes care of their teaching. He secures the teaching. I am with you. It's not only encouraging, I am with you is also safeguarding. And he is not just with those who were listening to him then when he spoke those words, but he is with the teaching church throughout the ages until there is no more time. That is then why our church, the successors of the apostles, can say in one of the documents of the Second Vatican Council, sacred tradition and sacred scripture form one sacred deposit of the Word of God committed to the church. It is not two things. It's not the one is very important, sacred scripture, and the other one, is just a help kind of to maybe understand it a bit better. Here it says clearly, sacred tradition and sacred scripture, they form one sacred deposit of the Word of God. Deposit, this is what is handed on. This is what we call the living tradition. It is clear, therefore, they continue in the same document in Dei Verbum. It is clear, therefore, that sacred tradition, sacred scripture, and the teaching authority of the church, in accord with God's most wise design, are so linked and joined together that one cannot stand without the other. One cannot stand without the other. And how often and how long do we actually try to stand on just one? And that all together, and each in its own way, contribute effectively to the salvation of souls. What they are saying here is that the teaching of the Church, that what we find in the Catechism, contributes effectively to the salvation of souls, to the salvation of my soul too. Why we spend time to look at this Word of God as a symphony is also to understand where the teaching of the Church comes in. And the Catechism contains pretty much that, the teaching of the Church, that what Christ is safeguarding, that what the apostles through the successors pass on to us. This is, or we want to stand, a necessary leg, because the one cannot stand without the other, they say. Then they come in this synod that they had recently to the next, to the last instrument playing this one symphony, this one sound of this one word. Finally, they say, the Word of God, attested and divinely inspired, is sacred scripture, the Old and New Testaments. There is, of course, so much to be said about this. Maybe in another little series in another year. Not now. But it might be just mentioned. No matter how much you read sacred scripture, read it more. Now they have taken us into what they call the symphony of the Word. So they understand that the Word of God has these different instruments playing this sound. Jesus, person, creation, salvation history, the preaching of the apostles and their successors, the teaching that Jesus himself safeguards, and of course, sacred scripture. And then they take us into a very beautiful insight when they say, all this helps us to see. While in the Church we greatly venerate the sacred scriptures, the Christian faith is not a religion of the book. Christianity is the religion of the Word of God, not of a written and mute word, but of the incarnate and living Word. So Christianity is not a religion of the book, and even if we call the book Holy Scriptures, we are not, the fathers say, a religion of the book. We are not worshipping a book. We are not believing in a book. We are believing in a living word that became one like us. Then, as a consequence, this word has to be proclaimed, heard, read, received, and experienced as the one Word of God in the stream of the apostolic tradition from which it is inseparable. The Word of God by now, with the help of the fathers, I hope we can see how it becomes probably much more than most of us would have thought or expected. And then the fathers say that the faithful, now this is us, need to be better helped to understand this unitary sense, that we come to hear the symphony, that we're not just listening to just one instrument, and that is not a play of which instrument is the more important. It is to play them together, to listen to them all together. Every instrument has a different contribution, but it is this sound together that plays the one symphony that is the best of all, the Word of God. Now you might just listen to this and you might say, yep, I understand. The question remains how this finds a place in my everyday life, whether this changes something in my habit, in my approach to the Word of God. Or do I listen to this and go out and still listen to just one instrument? Let us listen to the teaching that Jesus safeguards. See, the Pope Benedict, he is a man of the Word, but of the entire Word. And that is why in the year of faith he invites us to study and to get in to the catechism that we will look a little more in the other short sessions. If you have a little time for yourself, in your community, in your prayer group, I encourage you to just take this Verbum Domini. You can download it from the internet or whichever way you get it, and look, read it all if you have time, but look at least at this Article 7 and talk about it, share it, see that the Lord can build this truth into our heart, which for me somewhere is here in the core of my being, where the changes are made. God bless you until we meet again.
Radio.org.au